You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Founder Story. Today, we have Dr. Aryan DeYoung, an aerospace engineer, a real rocket scientist. So we're going to see if you really need to be as smart as a rocket scientist to understand this conversation today. But Aryan is the founder of Air Tulip, a company reinventing sleep by using laminar and airflow technology to create a purified breathing zone at night, which was just on Shark Tank.
Yep.
Which is like every entrepreneur's dream. Go on Shark Tank and then maybe one day exit your company. But Aryan, what was the spark for entrepreneurship for you and why this industry?
Great. Yeah, thanks. I actually grew up in an entrepreneurial family. My dad had his own factories making clean rooms. So I grew up already like being like 3, 4, 5 year old, being around the factory. My treehouse was actually blocks of styrofoam that I could like stack up in the corner in the storage space. So it was really fun. But with that came like this feeling like, hey, you can always do something in a different industry. And sometimes people think you need a large team to do something. The smallest team can make the largest impact as long as you come with something unique from a different angle. So I started with that. I've studied aerospace engineering and specialized in fluid mechanics and all that. But what that does is you can be agnostic to industry. You can improve something by taking something from another industry. And I've done that many times. I was like having some wind tunnel devices with lasers. And I used that to improve a semiconductor machine for like a big manufacturer. So I was like, everybody was like, oh, you can't measure this thing. I was like, sure, you can. Here, back of the envelope. 1, 2. Yeah, that works. You know, just need a big laser like this one. And there we crossbreeding is, I think, where you can get a lot of entrepreneurship. So that sparked for me, like, I love to unstick things when they're like, when somebody says, oh, you can't this or it's so difficult. Anybody is always able to say something like how it can't be done. There's not many people can say like, it doesn't work because of X, Y, Z, and et cetera. But it's like asking the question like, well, how can it be done? Or what is the alternate? And then there's less people that are like, well, that can't be done. But if we, let's think. So try to get to that corner because it's, you know, you see that with professors and with like academia. And I love academia. I got my PhD as well. But it's too easy to just, you know, burn down an idea instead of giving an opposite. So think of that. How do you flip this around? And that's for me the spark. That creates stuff.
Yeah, you know, I love that story. I am also like a creative person who wants to invent something, but I have like 6 failed inventions. So when you look at the massive amount of problems that we could be solving in life, how do you hone in and say, this is the problem that I want to solve?
Right. Well, for me, it came back to like, what I can do to help others. So with the semiconductor, it was like unsticking something to enabling a lot for the people that I was already working with. But this thing, it was something else. It was, and this comes back to COVID. We couldn't be indoors just around the pandemic because you'd spread COVID much stronger indoors. And I knew why, what would happen. If you have turbulent flow in the air, it mixes everything and it stays in this box. You can like, somebody coughs and instead of it being blown away with the wind outdoor, it stays around and around. And nobody sees it because it's all transparent. We don't know how air moves. We have no idea. I remember being part of the maintenance crew for those clean rooms. And after we do that, we have these downdraft booths. They're like a porous filter and the whole booth has a downflow, meaning that it doesn't mix up. It's just going in one direction. That's called laminar flow in layers. It doesn't create whirls. It's just straight down. And one of the workers lit up a cigarette. Wasn't allowed to, but, you know, and I was just joining the crew. I was like 16 or something like that. And, you know, instead of a plume of smoke, it was a line straight down. And I stood right next to him and I couldn't smell it. I didn't cough. I was just having completely clean air because my air I was breathing was coming from straight above. It wasn't coming from him. So I was like, when it came to the pandemic, I was like, wait, this is it. We can solve the indoor problem. We can open up bars and restaurants, and we can make sure the COVID doesn't spread, and we can really block it off. So fast forward, let's make a portable clean room. So, you know, again, back of the envelope calculation. So we made these kind of pillar-like things. They look like extra large tulips, so hence the name. And yeah, we started placing them in bars and restaurants in New York City. I was just hauling them around. I lived in the West. I'm still living in the West Village, and, you know, just trying to see where we can be. And that was like the spark, like, hey, can we help, you know, solve the pandemic? Like, I know about Flow. Let's do something. And not, you know, only think about it, but do it. So we built it and we started doing it.
Timing is everything, right? It's you combined all of your experiences, your educational knowledge, the experience you had working for within a certain company, doing a certain task. And now you've created this thing. You said that you went from bar to bar. You were just going there. How did you get your first 20, 30 clients?
So that was actually, and this is the whole product market fit thing, right? You start learning a lot about the non-technical stuff. So a lot of the restaurants, it would help them, but how do I explain to them that this would help versus, you know, an air purifier or, you know, just closing or wearing masks? So that was the biggest challenge. Like, wait, how do I, in a short time, right? Because the pandemic was running and running, we went to like restaurants and bars and some people were like, okay, cool, I'll try it and then do it and we'll measure it. But it was hard to get like real traction. And so the eureka moment came when we started switching clients. We started thinking about, oh, and not only bars and restaurants, where do people need to be? Dentistries, dentist office. You have to go to the dentist. And the dentists are actually technical people. They work with their hands. They are very educated. And they also work with their mouths open. They already have the problem that all this kind of, you know, saliva is always spitting up. So they are very aware of all the problems there were. So started to talk to dentists and they're like, yeah, for sure. I get that. Let's place it here and here and here. And so that's where you got like a fit, like the product started fitting the market, even though I knew it would help the restaurants and the bars. At that point, I could do one and two and three, but dentistry was a niche that started to come in. And I was like, okay, let me just do that and then come back to the rest, you know, and then, you know, gain your traction there and then work to the other niches. So that was really finding your, and again, it's the classic thing that you read in the book, but it's more about the people thing. I'm, you know, I can be as smart as I can do with the smartest equipment and the best thing, but you need to convince people. And how do you talk the talk for the people? What's in it for them? So dentist at that point.
Yeah, that's so smart. You many times think it's a certain customer or clientele for your product or service, but then you realize there's somebody who probably needs it more, already understands it. And I'm guessing they have more money to spend because, as we knew, a lot of these bars and stuff, not only are their profit margins already low, but they've been shut down. Where the dentist and medical, better profit, better margins, more money to spend, also a necessity. So that is super smart. So fast forward to Shark Tank.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I'm sure, will be like, I want to get my product on Shark Tank. So, you know, what is the first step of how someone even does that? And then I would love to go into how the experience was.
Sounds good. Before we went to Shark Tank, a quick note, the product I was going to Shark Tank with was actually an evolution of that. Post-pandemic, I had to flip. I had to like pivot. So again, in the book, you say pivot and everybody says how to do it. But it was mostly like, all right, the dentist assistants that were all sniffing had a lot of allergies. They weren't having the allergies anymore because we put these downdraft pillars in there. And for the whole day, they were like in completely clean air. So I was like, wait a second, this does something to people post-COVID. So we implemented this in the headboard for a bed. Why? The larger the areas we need to cover with people, the more difficult it is to make a machine. So where do people not move? So when you're sleeping, you're like between this and that side of the pillow. Bingo. All right. So that's what we did. Couple prototypes. And then we started like going towards, we had a Kickstarter. So that helped as well to figure out the fit, what kind of people are resonating with it. And now comes Shark Tank. And Shark Tank, everybody thinks like, oh, you immediately go on the show. No, it's got a couple steps. And it's quite exciting. My friend that actually was on the show in the tank, he's also a consultant in aerodynamics and a good friend of mine. His name is Jim. And he said, Arjen, you need to go on Shark Tank. You know, again, people would say, yes, but if, and it's difficult. No, I said, sure, let's do it. How do I get on Shark Tank? Now, you can do two things. You can submit your thing to the website, but then you're part of the pile. And they had these open casting days. I was like, all right, that sounds good. So you line up at 6 a.m. in front of the Javits Center here in New York City between, you know, everybody. Some people have like fantastic inventions or, you know, stuff to make your back better or cookies or ice cream or, you know, everybody's there. It's kind of fun. So I was like starting to talk to everybody. By the way, always be social. It's awesome. And yeah, I had a couple of foam boards with this kind of flow visualization and started talking to people. It took a long time. So because there's so many people, I only got my little pitch at around 2 p.m. So you spend this whole day and waiting and cycles and stuff. But yeah, and then so you start talking to people and they vet somebody for the next round. Second step is you get assigned like, you know, some directors and co-directors that start helping you with the process, preparing your speech and your pitch. And that really helps. Of course, for TV, you have a certain pitch. And one thing that people might not know about is, first of all, there's no redos. So you come in, you do your thing, you do your pitch, and then there's a Q&A. It's about 20, 30 minutes. No redos. And also, they don't know about you beforehand, which is by design. They're like, I don't know what this is. Let's see it. So it is genuinely this clean, new pitch. Nothing is set up like they already know. No. But that means it's a pressure cooker. And so you go through a couple of cycles with the directors, submit another video, make sure that everything's good. You then go to the next round. So there's like a couple of rounds before you get actually to the shooting and the show. And then in the show, they say like they overshoot. So it's not guaranteed you get to air. It really depends. But yeah, you do your best and you work with it. And the directors love the whole airflow visualization. Again, that's the lasers from the wind tunnel with the smoke stuff. But now I'm using it to show people how this works. That's my biggest challenge as well. Like, how do I show what air does if air is transparent? Nobody knows that, like, unless you're, you know, aerodynamic scientist. So yeah, super exciting. And then a couple of weeks before, yeah.
How was the experience? Like the doors open up and then now you have to go out.
Yep.
How was that experience for you? Because I would think I would be very, very nervous. Whether you're, you know, obviously you can't see everyone watching you at home and it's recorded. But knowing that you only get one shot, they're right there. You see how they are on TV. Obviously, you're getting some, you know, insights internally of what, you know, some help from, you know, people within the organization. But what's going through your mind? And then how was the exact experience when you walked out there and you started?
Yeah, of course, you're like super, you know, what do you say? Like, it's sick. It's super exciting, but it's also like, you can be a little anxious. I was like having this like dry mouth and stuff, like, all right, let's do it. At a certain point, you need to just like, all right, that's it. It's not going to be perfect, but never is. You've prepped your speech to that level, and then it's just, you need to go. So you walk through that corridor. There's a spot on the floor where you need to stand for the cameras and stuff to make sure. And then it's just 1, 2, 3, and go. What I noticed is, and it really depends on the persona to the persona. Some people have more difficulty with it. I love to improvise. I'm like, okay, let's go. And I'm actually more anxious beforehand. But the moment I'm on the stage, I'm like, all right, let's do it. I did a lot of like, you know, theater and improv and stuff before. And I get my energy from it. Like, okay, I'm here. I'm making the most out of what I have energy-wise. As long as you don't make it too, you know, oh no, it doesn't die. Don't make it too stiff. And it's harder for some people than for others. But, you know, try to give it, you know, with a smile and a pinch of salt. It's already amazing that you're there. You see the studio. If people are going to be on the Shark Tank there is a walkthrough to show the set already so that you get a little bit acquainted. That's either the day of or day before you come in. And so it's not like, oh, my God, I don't know where the door is and, you know, what's happening. But, yeah, it's just about going. And, you know, often entrepreneurship in general is about making that step and being uncomfortable and then see what happens. I won't make it perfect, you know, but I've given my best shot for what I have at the moment. So, yeah.
I've heard a lot of people talk about improv is very good for business and even yeah. Theaters. I did a little bit of theater, very, very small. Maybe it's the comedy side. I enjoy that too. So I can see personally how that's helped me when it comes to connecting with other people. But the fact that, you know, you are talking about using and leveraging things in your background, I think I'm inspired. I'm going to go do some, I think stand up, do some improv. Like those are the things I'd imagine, like you've got to really be on your feet when you're pitching something and you have to be prepared, but not frozen. So let's say so the other thing I think most people want to know is what happens after Shark Tank?
Huh. Yeah. So after Shark Tank, of course, you've done your pitch, depending on how the outcome is. It's like a huge sigh of, you know, relief. And I was like, you know, Civil Gym in Los Angeles. It was in the studios in LA. And yeah, it was super exciting. I didn't take the offer. I got an offer. I didn't take the offer. I know from other people that then there's, of course, the whole thing about finalizing and putting in writing that offer. So you work with the shark and with the team. For me, I didn't have that. But what we did have was an unknown on when we were going to air. So we were shooting in September. It was, the season was starting around October. The problem is the season has got like 16 to 20 episodes. And they're only going to tell you 3 weeks ahead if and when you're going to be in the episode. So then the first episode, you're like, okay, so where is it happening? This episode had the guest sharks and stuff like that. I had all the classic sharks, so I already knew I'm not in that episode and not in that episode. But after a couple of episodes, like 8, 9, 10, you're like, okay, that's cool, but when are we going to be airing? Like, what's going on? So it was a huge sigh of relief when I actually saw that, oh, we're going to be airing in episode 16 and, you know, season 16, episode 16. It was super. And then from there on, it was also scrambling together with the team we have. Like, how do you prepare for that? How would you prepare for, you know, traffic on the website, what we're saying, marketing? Like, it's all hands on deck. So it's not only you go Shark Tank and that's it and you make the money and yay. No, it's also about showcasing to the world what you're doing and why you're doing it. And that's also a big part of it. Like, for me, it was showcasing that we can actually manipulate air and create a local bubble in the open. People might not think that's possible. So that was also a big part for me to do it. And then I want to piggyback on that to kind of, you know, to help people. Because, you know, we had a lot of people with asthma, with allergies that had a huge benefit. But how do I reach the people and convince them like this actually is working? How do I work with that? And that's something different from engineering. And that's, I think, the biggest challenge for especially a technical founder. I can make the most beautiful device in the world. Nobody would, you know, give a damn about it because you need to convince somebody that it would help them or what it is. So that's the biggest mismatch. And that's, yeah, that's the challenge. And that's post Shark Tank really what, you know, I personally focused on.
Yeah. When I feel like when there's any educational sale, it just adds to a little bit more complexities. And this product sounds, I mean, it sounds incredible. You know, I've never seen or heard of a similar product out there in the marketplace. But, you know, most of us will probably need something. You know, my wife and I always suffer from allergies and other things. And, you know, being in the city, there's smog and pollutants, like all the things that you already know about. So how did you or how are you finding now people are responding to the education that you're putting out there and just the product in general?
You know, what also helps me, even if people don't go for the project, for the product that I have, I already noticed that people are grateful. Hey, I didn't know that this was the case. And now I look at the air quality or I close the windows or wash the curtains and it's really helping me. And that's already something that's for me a win. You know, like I'm helping people with transferring some knowledge about what is there in the air. So yeah, that's the first. And the second thing is it's a continuous journey. And as we're growing and as we're showcasing more, there's also a, you know, buildup of trust. And this is also how it goes for any entrepreneur. Like, how do you make sure that people see you not just once, but also twice and, you know, five times and stuff? That's not only for yourself, but it's also what you try to educate. So for me, it's a dual thing. Like, I love it that people actually respond to the way I, you know, try and work on explaining what's there and what it does for them. And then again, it also helps getting the product to market. And that's one thing that I think is always a challenge is there's such a big difference between B2B and direct-to-consumer sales. I had an earplugs company before that was like direct-to-consumer. I didn't know about that because a lot of the previous stuff I've done is in the kind of B2B sphere, large machinery, expensive equipment, you know, changing things that are, you know, very like a couple of companies can do it. And there's these large contracts with it. And this is a whole different game. So how do you reach people en masse and how do you create a community around that?
Community is everything, right? Yeah. I think when you're reaching people, maybe even, you know, the future of B2B is also, you know, having some sort of community, just maybe it looks different. So I know you've had a very fascinating journey. I mean, from aerospace engineer to creating different products, inventing things, you know, seeing success, getting this, you know, investors or crowdfunding, and then you have Shark Tank, And now you're here, you've gone from B2B, B2C. What was a challenge, a personal challenge, or something, or a challenge that you had to go through that maybe personally was not easy, and how did you overcome it?
I think the biggest challenge that I've seen, and it's a weakness for me, is like, I noticed that I like working with people, but when you are getting other people to get on board with your business and you start working with them, I noticed that I too often in the past was, oh, I like somebody as a person, therefore I want to work with this person, not looking at their merit or their backstory or what's happening. And so for me, it was really like, how do I learn to not try to be just working with friends, because that's not working. I need to get a diverse team where everybody, you know, is really at level and chips in what it is. And that's for me the biggest challenge. Like, how do I switch my mindset, my own natural tendency to gravitate towards a certain persona that I like personally, just to be, you know, playing pool with, or, you know, like hanging out with. That's not necessarily, and it's good to have a team where you're like, you like each other and work with it. But how do you make sure that it's also based on merit and also based on, you know, expectations? So that's my biggest challenge. And I keep cycling, you know, with that, like, okay, who do I work with, and what capacity and at what level? And that's not only for team internal, there's also like suppliers and contractors and, you know, collaborations and all that stuff. That's the continuing journey. And I'm improving on that, but it's difficult. I'm very strong at what I do on the inventing stuff side. But then if people are enthusiastic, like, are they the right people to join the team? And because in the end, and that's one of the things that I find difficult, is to be more clear on.
When you realize you need to hire, it's usually already too late. I've been there, wasting weeks waiting for decent candidates. If I had used Indeed, I could have hired way faster. So when it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. One thing I love about Indeed, it makes hiring fast because it puts you right in front of the right people without wasting time. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts. You only pay for results. And while I've been talking, 23 hires were made on Indeed worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/founders story. Just go to Indeed.com/founders story right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/founders story. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need.
If you're anything like me, your inbox is a mess. I used to spend hours sorting through emails trying to find that one thread or task buried under a mountain of newsletters and noise. I can't stand it. That's why I started using Notion Mail. And honestly, it's been one of the most game-changing things that we have done. Notion Mail is the inbox that thinks like you, automated, personalized, and flexible to finally work the way you work. With AI that learns what matters to you, it can organize your inbox, label messages, draft replies, and even schedule meetings. No manual sorting required. It actually connects with the rest of my workspace, so my messages, tasks, and notes are all in sync. I've never felt more on top of communication. Get Notion Mail for free right now at Notion.com/founders and try the inbox that thinks like you. That's all lowercase letters, Notion.com/founders, to get Notion Mail for free right now. When you use our link, you're supporting our show, Notion.com/founders.
Starting your business should be simple. That's why I love what Northwest Registered Agent is doing. You can build your entire business identity in just 10 clicks and 10 minutes. Seriously, whether you're launching your first company or your fifth, you get more when you start with Northwest. More privacy, more guidance, and more freedom to run your business from anywhere. They've helped businesses grow for nearly 30 years, and they've got your back. For just $39 plus state fees, Northwest will form your business, create a custom website, and set up a local presence anywhere you need it. Want more? They'll protect your identity by using their address on your formation documents, and their premium mail forwarding gives you a real business address that keeps your home info private, which I have used this service for many years. Don't wait. Protect your privacy, build your brand, and set up your business in just 10 clicks in 10 minutes. Visit northwestregisteredagent.com/founders and start building something amazing. Get more with Northwest Registered Agent at northwestregisteredagent.com/founders.
That is actually helping the business, therefore helping more people. So it feels very double by being a little bit more reserved or think a different way about who you're going to work with. But it will help in the end the calls you're really focusing on. It's a continued journey, I must say. And I think that's my biggest challenge. There we go.
I'm glad that you're able to say that this is an ongoing thing. Some people are like, oh, I saw this problem, I moved on. But what you're saying is this is an ongoing thing. And I think most of us, that's what we're really dealing with in business, is it's something ongoing and it's not probably already solved. But I think not a lot of people are willing to admit to that. But I appreciate that. I am totally with you on board. And I've gone through the same thing. I've had to relook at how I trust people or how I get excited to work with people. It's not just because of their personality, because of who they are, how much fun we have. I am very interested about success, though. So you mentioned success just now. What will success look like? Or at what point are you like, okay, I am satisfied with the success that I've had, I'm going to move on to something else?
I think that comes down to, is this a working machine that really is changing people's lives? So kind of the mission of what we do to help improve people. And it's not by just having X units or something, but really creating a momentum and a movement towards a betterment. And I think then I would feel very satisfied to make sure that this continues. So I don't want to cut it off, but then to kind of start saying, okay, this is something I can look at it. We built the foundation, the building is standing, the gears are in there and turning. And this is the moment where I don't need to be anymore putting the bricks in. This is to run by others. Okay, now let's see where this can be. And it can be either as part of a larger corporation or on itself get further. But I'm definitely not there yet. Like, this has to still grow. And it's still, we got the momentum, we got the traction, we got the interest, we got these orders. And it's like, it's a running machine. So that's great. And there's so many levels of scale that I still want to go through. And this is maybe, again, the physicist me speaking, it's a logarithmic scale. Meaning, it's like the Richter scale for earthquakes. If a mosquito lands on the table, it's minus 14 on that same scale, minus 14 on the Richter's. The Death Star exploding by the laser thing, the Death Star exploding the planet, is like 15 on the Richter scale. So a Richter scale is in orders of magnitude. It's like times 10, times 10, times 10, times 10, times 10. So every step you take, you go 10 times more. So every time you go from 2 to 3, 10 times more. From 3 to 3 or 4, 10 times more, etc. But if you then look back all the way down the alley, you've done a million times. So right now, we are in a certain phase, you know, the phase of the thousands. This can become the phase of the 10,000s, the phase of the hundreds of thousands, etc., if you think about units. So for me, every phase has a new challenge. Your company has to be bigger or has to do something different to reach the next milestone in the phase. And I'd like to see a couple more phases and then say, okay, this has, you know, enough momentum and mass. This is like really, this is now orbiting a planet instead of just doing a hobby. You know what I mean? We're very far from the hobby side, but we're not yet on the, it's a planet that orbits the sun, let's say, side. So I want to get to that.
You got to come back when you're orbiting the planet, when you've hit this success, when you got the tens, hundred thousands, billions in revenue or valuation. That'll be very interesting to see. I'd love to learn, what are the challenges at that point? What are the learnings at that point? Because I think it's great. It's like you're saying, every step is like a new challenge, a new learning experience, something that's different. And there you go. You're 10x or 10 times success rate at the next phase. Come back and share with us how it's gone since then. But this has been, Dr. Aryan, this has been great. One day I want to go to Shark Tank. I just want to be on the show, but not have to talk on the show. I just need like a prop or something. But I really appreciate your time today. If you want to get in touch with you, they want to find out more about the company, how can they do so?
Yeah, so we have the website, airtulip.co.co, so not the com. There's a couple of different menus. You can reach out to us by email. We also have a chat window if you have any questions. And so please reach out to me and to us. My personal email is also arjen@airtulip.co. If anybody wants to reach out personally, my name is here in the description, A-R-J-E-N. It's Dutch, at airtulip.co.
Amazing, airtulip.co. Dr. Arjen, thank you so much for joining us today on Founder's Story.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Dan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.